Tonight, there's power in the name of Jesus. Do you realize that? There's power in the name of Jesus. That's why that name's so persecuted. That's why our faith's so come against, because there's power in that name. We will read a story out of Acts chapter 3, if you'll be turning with me to that, of how this name of Jesus set a man free, changed his life. It'll change your life too if you use it. That is for sure. We taught our kids when they were growing up, they had bad dreams at night. They woke up in a bad dream to just call the name of Jesus, and peace would come. I should have thought about that on that boat. Instead of saying mama, I should have said father. Acts chapter 3, verse 1. Now Peter and John went up together into the temple at the hour of prayer, being the ninth hour. And a certain man from his mother's, lame man from his mother's womb was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms of them that entered into the temple. Who seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asked an alms. So he's lame, he's asking for money. Peter, fastening his eyes upon him with John, said, "Look on us." And he gave heed unto them, expecting to receive something of them. Then Peter said, "Silver and gold," and I want you to hold this verse for a little bit, Jeremy. I'm going to talk about this verse. Peter said, "Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, I give thee in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." Now, I was looking at this verse today, and I've read it and taught it many times through the years, but something really caught my attention. It should have caught it a long time ago, I guess. That's what's great about the Word of God. You read it, you study it, and God just shows you fresh things. I love where it says, "as I have." We can't give something to someone else we don't have. If Joe Brown needs to borrow $100,000, I'm the wrong man. I'll buy him an Arby's meal up here. That's about as much as I can do. And I'll get the big size. But that's about, and a milkshake, but that's about all I can do. You can't give something away you don't have. I read that verse, and Peter, with boldness, said, "such as I have." In other words, what Jesus and the power of the Holy Spirit had given into Peter and John's life, they were about to impart that into someone else's life because they had it to give. Now, I want to ask you this question. This hit me, too, on this verse. Are we not filled with the Holy Spirit? Did Peter and John have a different Holy Spirit than we have? No. There's one Spirit, the Bible says, one Lord, one baptism, one God of all. His Holy Spirit was no more powerful than our Holy Spirit. The difference is Peter and John operated and used what was in there. They used it and gave it back out of what God gave them. And this was not something that was planned. Notice they're walking along. They didn't know that was going to happen that morning, I'm sure. But when the man spoke, the Holy Spirit gave them an unction. God spoke to them and said, "Here's what I want you to say." Now, silver and gold, they could have tossed them a $5 bill or a coin or whatever. They could have did that. But what I got to think about that too. Silver and gold have I none. You know what he was really saying? Silver and gold is not going to fix your problem. Silver and gold is not what you need. Silver and gold is not going to heal you or give you the remedy. It's kind of the old story. I can give you a fish and eat for a day, or I can teach you how to fish and eat for a lifetime. Now, would a $5 bill be better to get him one meal, or would healing him and restoring him to work the rest of his life produce much more? He didn't have, the silver and gold wasn't what he needed. He says, "such as I have, I give unto you." It wasn't arrogance. It wasn't saying, "we're somebody." We'll see that here in a minute. He was saying, "look, I've got a solution," as Kev was saying a while ago. "I see a problem." This man was about 40 years old. The Bible says he was more than 40. Lame from birth, had never walked. His whole life was a beggar. And in one moment, one instant, one passing by with destiny, his life was transformed forever. 40 years of being crippled turned into one moment of being forever healed because Peter and John gave out what God gave them. They used it. They exercised it. They put it forth and gave it away to somebody else. Peter and John are no more holier than we were. They're no more Holy Ghost filled than we are. It's just that they were using what God had given them. Now, let's talk about Peter for a minute, because if you remember, Peter was kind of a sleazeball, wasn't he, a little bit, in the beginning. He denied Christ 3 times. It'd be like Kevin out here getting gassed at a gas station. You go to that Living Word Ministry. You know James Lewis. I don't know James Lewis. I don't go to Living Word Ministry. Yeah. Don't. And then somebody, don't you go to Living Word? I don't go to Living Word Ministry. No, that's that boy. That's him. That's my brother Mike. That ain't me. He's got a brother Mike. He really does. That ain't me. 3 times Peter denied that he even knew Jesus. He's cowering in a corner with a hood. I mean, they invented the hoodies, right? The hood over his head. I don't know Jesus. No, you got me mistaken. He went from that to when he come out of the upper room. What changed Peter? He was a witness to what God had done and who God really was. He had a personal visitation of the Holy Spirit. He was one of the ones in the upper room that was locked away at the other, 120, waiting on that promise. And when the promise came, when the Holy Spirit filled that upper room, and for the first time God dwelt inside of man, he come out of that room, and the people thought they were drunk because they were speaking all these languages, and it just sounded chaotic. And they said, no, we're not drunk. Here's what happened. This Jesus whom you crucified, who you gave away, who you picked a murderer over, I mean him over a murderer, and you crucified him, this is his work. He is alive and well and now living in us. And he preached such a bold message that 3,000 people were converted to the faith of Christianity right then. Peter was bold. You know, you can't be bold if you haven't been with God. You can't give out something you've not experienced. Just simple examples. I counsel a lot of couples. Some have been married young, some have been married more than me. But I've been married long enough to have some experience. 23 years. Of wonderful, heavenly, holy matrimony bliss. 23 years, 2.5 decades of marriage. 3 kids together. Been through a lot of stuff. Going through a lot more stuff. That's how marriage is. But you know what? I've been married. I've had kids. I can give advice on raising kids. May not be the right advice, but I can give some advice. I can give advice on how to be a wonderful husband because I'm that. And I can give advice on how to be a wonderful wife because she's that. See, I gave you kudos. So, I've got experience. I am a married man. I am a father. I am a son. I am a pastor. These are areas I have experience in that I can pass on to other people. Peter had experience of being in the presence of the Holy Ghost. He was there when that mighty rushing wind came in. He was there when that sound like no sound ever on the earth come in that room. He was there when Mal began to speak language they should be able to speak. He was there when the fire of cloven tongues fell in that place. He was there. I'm a witness to what God has done. And nobody's going to tell me God's dead. Nobody's going to tell me he's still buried. Nobody's going to tell me God can't do it. So he came out and he preached that bold message. Filled with the Holy Ghost, and then begin to start his ministry. So here he is, walking by this lame man. I'll wait till Sunday morning to the altar call. Come see me on Sabbath. We'll talk. He did it right there. Imagine this. Every town's got their hobos. That's probably not politically correct. I'm sorry. Everybody's got their homeless. Everybody's got the one in the corner. And a lot of them are crooks. Some of them can't help it, but some of them are crooks, some of them are just, whatever issue. They all got their signs. They're on every corner in every town of America. Imagine you go by the Walmart traffic light and there's a crippled man there. Our mentality is they need help. Are we the help? Our mentality is somebody needs to help them. Are we the one to help them? Peter and John could have passed on by, tossed a coin, and went about their day, but God changed their direction. God says, give them what you have. It's not that the healing came through them. The healing came through the one that lived in him. When we step back and realize there is no power in us, it's the power of him that lives in us, then all of a sudden we go to a different level. See, I hear this all the time, and I want to debunk this theology because I've heard it all my life through religious teaching. I've heard it through the years. Well, if you prayed more, they'd been healed. If you'd fasted longer, they'd be alive. If you were holier, if you lived better, if you did this, if you did this, if you went to church more, if you gave more of your tithes, if you did all this stuff, that's bull. Because here's the deal. I'm not holy, but Christ is. And that's the one in me that rose from the dead. And the same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwells inside of us. How in the world can we pass by and not use what God gave us? But when we take the man part out, because I'm tired of hearing that. Church, ain't nobody can pray enough or be holy enough to perform miracles. It's the miracle worker in you. It's God Himself that performs the miracles. Now, I understand we need to live a life according to God. Of course we do. I'm not saying that. I don't want everybody to go out and say, oh, Pastor, this week, party. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying this, that we got to get out of ourselves. Because I've heard people say that, well, they had more faith, they wouldn't have died. Look, you're putting everything on what you do. I can't raise nobody from the dead, but Christ can. The Holy Spirit can do what He wants. You could drop on the floor tonight and be gone for 30 minutes, and the Holy Spirit could raise you back up in perfect health with a sound mind if they want. That's the God we serve. Peter and John wasn't in themselves when this happened. They said, what I have, what I've been given. They knew it wasn't them, it was what they had been given. I give unto you in the name of the one, the name of the only one with any life and any power, in that name, rise up and walk. Not in Peter's name, not in a preacher's name, not in a church's name, not a denominational name, in the name of the Lamb of God who sealed the world of redemption for all of us through His blood. That's the one that causes healing. And if our focus could get on that, instead of on what we're doing wrong, no, what did Jesus do right? My God. He died and He rose and He dwelled. Church, if we can't walk in power with Him living inside of us, what else is there? I mean, it's like taking an IROC Z out, the Camaro IROC Z. Boy, they're powerful. It's like taking that thing on that straightaway interstate and barely driving like my dad drives, barely mashing the gas, and going about 55 and stopping. Man, you ain't using nothing of what that thing's got. Hammer that thing down. Whirr! And feel the pulsating in your back. Woo! Man, I rock Z. Going through a midlife crisis, you can tell. Anyway, kids are about grown, buddy. I ain't going to need that back seat no more. Go back to the sports car. Use that power. Man, we're walking like Pintos instead of IROCs and wondering why we're defeated. We're putting along Mr. Bean and his little thing, flubber car. We're doing that instead of saying, man, God's giving me power. Power. And the same Spirit, Peter and John, I hear people, well, that stopped way back in and God don't work that way. And that was for a certain age to demonstrate who God was. Well, I mean, don't God still need to be shown off? I mean, you still get sick. People still dying. Do we still need miracles coming our way? Yes, all the time. So He said, what I have, I give you. Rise up and walk. Okay, go ahead, Jerry. He took him by the right hand, lifted him up, and immediately his feet and his ankle bones received strength. Understand this. This was not a Pentecostal, slinging the oil, organ revival experience, which those are good too. You know what this was? It was Peter and John walking by Walmart in the name of Jesus. Rise up and walk. They took ministry to the streets. They lived it. They spoke it. They breathed it. By faith, they spoke out that healing through the name of Jesus. By faith. Faith's a powerful thing, but faith has nothing to do with us. It has to do with Him. And how we believe in Him. Lord, yes, you can still do it. Yes, Jesus, you can still heal. Yes, Jesus, you can still restore. Yes, Jesus, there are miracles that are still happening all over the world. Miracles that are happening. Someone shared a miracle with me last week. They called me. They come here to church. I told them I want them to share their testimony. They said they would. I want them to share their testimony, a miracle. And for those that say, I need proof, this person has scientific x-ray proof to show before and after what God did. if you need that. See, I'm not one that needs that. I'm not. I just don't need that. God, you can do it. I mean, I've seen you do it. I know you can do it. I believe you can do it because I know who you are. I know who you are. Next verse. He leaped up. Now notice this man hadn't walked. Imagine him walking for the. I mean, he leaped. He stood. He entered into the temple, walking, leaping, and praising God. Walking. Can you imagine this man, 40 plus years old, had never walked. All he was expecting that day was enough to maybe buy a blanket or a meal for the day. Instead, he rises on his feet and for the first time ever is able to use something which was dead from birth. And God raised the dead, literally resurrected that which was dead and gave it life. That's the God we serve. He says, I am the resurrection and the life. And for that day and that moment, the resurrection passed his way and rose him up. And for the first time, when he didn't even know how to walk, began to jump. What is this movement? I never had this. Jumping, saying, my legs walk, my feet move, my toes wiggle. Thank you. Somebody's touched me. Somebody passed my way. My God did this and nobody else. That's the God we serve. That's the power of his name. But we don't exercise it. All the people saw him walking and praising God. Notice he wasn't bashful. He wasn't ashamed, was he? He wasn't saying his blessing like this. Amen. Hope nobody saw me. I mean, he was openly praising God. If God does something for you, you go praise him. They knew it was he, all people knew is that same guy which sat for alms at the beautiful gate of the temple, and they were filled with wonder and amazement at how that happened unto him. What happened to him? That's so-and-so. That's John. I know him. He never walked. That's him walking. I know who that is. How has that happened? And the lame man which was healed held Peter and John. All the people ran together unto them in the porch that is called Solomon, greatly wondering. So they're all gathered around. Now I love what Peter says here. I love it. Verse 12 says, is that my phone? Oh, okay. I thought I'll tell her. When Peter saw it, he answered the people. Now look how bold this is. How many? This is, I love this. Look. He answered the people, ye men of Israel. Why do you marvel at this? Or why do you look so earnestly on us as though our own power or holiness had made this man to walk? Boy, couldn't we use more of that humility among God's people? You looking at me? You looking at me? I didn't do that. What are you looking at us for? It's not our holiness that did this. It's not our power. We're no magician. We're no great, healers. What are you talking about? Why? We did. Immediately, what I love is Peter began to discount their involvement in what happened and give it all back to God. Point all the glory back to God. All the glory back to the one that did it. Take all the glory off them and place it on who it deserved, and that was God. Saying we start honoring God and giving him all the glory, then he starts honoring us and exalting our lives that the glory is seen in our lives. I love that. We hadn't made this man walk. Well, who did it? He says it in verse 13. The God of Abraham, of Isaac, of Jacob, the God of our fathers, hath glorified his son Jesus. And boy, here's the boldness. Understand this. This isn't no patty cake message. He says, who you delivered up and denied him in the presence of Pilate when he was determined to let him go. But you deny the Holy One, the just, and desired a murderer to be granted unto you. That's pretty bold. I bet the offering was down that day. I mean, really? I get up here on Sunday mornings. You that denied the Holy One and picked a murderer. You killed Jesus. That's the one that healed him. You killed the Prince of Life, whom God hath raised from the dead. And I love what he says. We are witnesses. They were there, church. Peter saw his Jesus die, saw his Jesus buried in grave clothes, and then saw the stone rolled away and saw the empty grave, and more importantly, saw the same Jesus that hung on the cross dead, the same Jesus now walked among them again, showing himself. I said I would tear down the temple, but 3 days later build it back. I said I wasn't going to leave you. I said I wasn't going to forsake you. I said I will be back. And boy, did he come back in fashion. He come from the dead. I mean, he made an appearance. And he's walking. And for 40 days, he walked on the earth after he raised. It wasn't just a few moments. He didn't just go see Peter and John, a few little of the religious clique, so they could tell the people, oh, we saw, sure, you saw Jesus. Yeah, sure, you're just one of them followers. That's why you say it. You're the little cult of Jesus. So 40 days, he walked the earth. Bible says he was seen by hundreds and hundreds of people. Hundreds of people saw him. He made himself very known. Yeah, I am he. I am the I am. And yes, I'm the one you saw hanging on a cross, and now I'm alive. And then they gathered around, see, ascended into the heavens and left the earth. But he didn't leave them powerless. Church, he didn't leave us powerless. You know, it's great to think about our future as far as glory land. It's great to think about, you know, the heaven that's waiting on all of us. It's great to think about no more pain, no more sickness, no more sorrow, no more tears. But in the meantime, there is pain, there is tears, and there is sorrow. So we need something to get us from A to B. And that's the power of the Holy Spirit. It gives us what we need day by day to face our challenges and say, you know what? Yes, things happen in life, but God, by your power and by your strength, you will carry me and you will lift me out of this and you will help me and you will take me forward. No matter what, there's no situation catches God by surprise, whether your loved one dies suddenly, whether you lose your job when you walk in the door, whether, you know, your house forecloses, your car gets towed away. Nothing catches God off by guard. Nothing. And just like Kevin said earlier, we can't look at our situation. We got to look at our solution. Our solution is Jesus is Lord. You know what that means? Jesus is Lord. They call LeBron James in basketball King James. That's a nickname. You know, King James. You know why that was? You know, every basketball player's got a nickname. If I played, I would hope I have a cool one, but I don't play. I'm not tall enough. I can't jump. I can't shoot. I can't dribble. I just look good in a tank top. That's it. Other than that, they call him King James. You know why? What does a king represent? The best, the highest. King James, best player. And he is, whether you like him or don't like him, he's arguably the best player in today's game. King James. Well, Jesus is our king, and Jesus is Lord, and he's Lord of all. He's Lord above all things. There's no other Lord above our Lord. No other power above our power. No other name above that name. There's no other life above that life. He is the supreme, highest source of mankind, humanity, eternity past, eternity present, and eternity future. He's the highest. No greater. Jesus is Lord. That means he's Lord over cancer. It means he's Lord over joblessness. That means he's Lord over drug addiction. He's Lord over alcoholism. He's Lord over divorce. He's Lord over rebellion. He's Lord over anything we can throw against him. I'm bigger than that, bigger than that, bigger than that. I'm bigger than all that combined. I'm bigger than all that. I'm Lord. Jesus is Lord of all creation, Lord over all mankind. And the Bible says every knee will bow, every tongue will confess. I love that. This does not mean everyone will be born again and go to heaven. What it does mean is even the ones that are lost will bow the knee in the pit of hell and say, yes, he is Lord. Every knee will bow. And they will say, even, remember the Roman soldier when Jesus was crucified and the earth quaked, the veil split. I love what the soldier in the Bible says. This truly was the Son of God. Wow. Yes, he truly was. I've just killed, thought he had killed, the Son of God. But you know what? Jesus had all power to release himself from the cross, but he didn't. You know why he didn't? Because there had to be, sin had to be paid for. And none of our holy prayers and holy giving and holy fasting and holy shouting and holy dancing and holy speaking in tongues and holy church attendance could ever, ever take that away. We would always come up a little bit short, actually a lot bit short. And Jesus says, I'm going to take care of it for you. I'm going to go in and I'm going to take care. Understand, sin had to be paid for. It wasn't just erased. There's a big difference. Here's what grace did, church. It didn't just erase sin. He didn't just say a do-over. He didn't just say, well, forget the law. We'll start grace today. The word was already spoken. Sin had to be paid for. So Jesus took all sin of all mankind, the one offering. The Bible says in Hebrews, he went in once and for all to obtain eternal redemption for us. Him that knew no sin became sin that we, that we what? Could become the righteousness of God. In other words, no other way could be righteous other than believing he took all of our sin. And he hung on that cross, and we've talked about that before on Easter, I talked about it. What a painful death, the most painful death possible is crucifixion. They literally, a person would suffocate to death. Painful death. And he hung on that cross, stripped of his dignity, of his royalty in man's eyes, beaten with 39 stripes like a bloody pulp, hung there between ground and sky, had all power to change things, but didn't, and even said, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing, and they didn't. And we still don't, I don't think. When we go against God, we don't really know what we're doing. We don't understand the magnitude of what grace did for us. Forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. They don't really know who I am. They don't know what I'm about to do for them. They don't know what I'm about to establish, because when I come off this cross and out of that grave, they're going to be free of all charges that were ever held against them. They will be declared not guilty for the rest of their lives, justified by the blood of Jesus, completely reconciled back unto me. Man, that's what grace is. That's the power of grace. And that's the power that lives inside of us. And so the same Spirit that raised him from the dead dwells in us. And the Bible says our mortal bodies will be impacted by this same Spirit. We will never die or be separated from God ever because of the blood of Jesus. We may put somebody in the ground, but they're not there. They are already very aware of their new destination. That's why the Bible says in Psalms that precious are the death of his saints in the eyes of the Lord. He knows where they're at. He knows what he's got waiting on them. Think about what he's got waiting on us as people. But in the meantime, we need some strength. We grow weak. There's seasons of our lives that get us so discouraged, we wonder how we're going to take the next step. That's where we remind ourselves of Peter and John. Hang on. Such as I have, I give. You know what that means? Look at yourself in the mirror. To give it to yourself if you have to. Get in front of a mirror. Such as I have, I'm giving to you, James. You're discouraged. In the name of Jesus, joy replaced discouragement. In the name of Jesus, those shackles of despair be dismissed, and let your feet dance again in my glory. It truly is important what we speak into our spirit. There are people, you can look at Facebook, and the people that are miserable, it don't take you long to figure out why they're miserable. The way they talk, my Lord, everything's a crisis. Every day is an issue. Everything's negative, 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 negative. Scroll down, negative. We start speaking the right words, God's word, and say, you know what? I've got the same Holy Spirit Peter and John have, same Holy Spirit Paul has, the same Holy Spirit Timothy had, and Bartholomew, and I had the same Spirit, and they went around doing miracles, laying hands on the sick. They showed God's glory. Situations changed when they showed up. Do our situations change when we show up, or are we just like everybody else? How many beggars, talking metaphorically, how many beggars are waiting on you to pass their way? Church, how many people are sitting here in your life, daily life, holding their hand out, not literally, but in their hearts, crying for you to give them what you got? And they don't even know what it is. They just know they got to have something different than what they got. And we're the vessels. Church, we're the tabernacle. The Bible says we're the tabernacle that God dwells in. We're the hands that he uses. The song Mary played when she taught last time, a year or so ago. I love that song. If not me, who? If not then, now? Or you know what I'm talking about, that song. If not now, anyway, do something. That's it. See, thank you. Do something. Picture our bodies being just a shelled out puppet. Sharon and Joe have done puppet shows. In fact, Ashley was asking the other day, they don't do puppet shows no more. Honey, you're almost 13. I still like puppet. Okay, that's fine. So we'll get y'all to do that again. Imagine a puppet. A puppet can do nothing without a hand guiding it. If I put a puppet up there, we're going to have a puppet show. Okay, do something, puppet. Unless it's poltergeist possessed, it ain't going to do nothing. And if it starts moving, I'm out of here. I'm just letting you know. I'll go back to the boat. I mean, I'm out of here. So what do you do with the puppet? Put your hand in the puppet, and it does everything your hand does. Or, you know, you got the strings that do it or whatever. Just think about God being the strings. God being the hand. And however he moves us, we move. He says, speak to that person, we speak. Pray for that person, we pray. Lay hands on that person, we lay hands. Give them some money because they have a need, give them some money. Whatever it is, be the vehicle God uses. Church, we are God's people. We've been given something so special. I'll never forget the day I got saved. 9 years old, tent revival. Got saved, got baptized the same week. Come out of the water, Holy Spirit on me, in me. It changed me. It changed me. It's not meant for us to hoard and hold on to and keep it from everybody else like we're some kind of big master. I've got it all, and you got nothing. No, we give it away. We give what we have. Each one of us are gifted in different ways. Elizabeth back there in the back row gave a great compliment to Melanie whenever talked about her hands, when her hands touched you that day at the altar, and you said that she had healing in her hands. Well, walking out the door, yeah. And said you felt healing in her hands. I mean, that's a gift, and all of us have that. Peter and John were simply using what God gave them. It wasn't a big show. It wasn't like, ladies and gentlemen, cripple man, get the camera on him. He's going to be healed. For $10, you can see it. Come on up here and gather around. He didn't make a spectacle. He didn't make it a big deal. He simply was walking by, saw the need, and the Holy Ghost spoke to him and said, heal him. You've got what you need. Can you imagine when he said, look on us, how excited he got? Ooh, I'm getting something. Yeah, you're getting something. A lot better money. You're getting healing. Rise up and walk. Man, their appointment with that man changed his life, and it changed the people around him's life because they saw the glory of God. Now it gets bad here. Look at this. Go to the next scripture. Well, after this. His name, look at this, and his name through faith in his name. Here's Peter telling the people, taking no credit. In his name, through faith in his name, hath made this man strong, whom you see and know, the faith which is by him hath given him this perfect soundness in the presence of you all. In the name of Jesus, why he's healed. That's what you're seeing. Don't look at me and John. We did nothing. The one that rose the dead is who did it. Go to the next scripture. This is Acts 4, verse 7. Now, what happened here? People started getting restless. All the leaders, governors, you know, all the officials, the mayor, the councilmen, you know, all them religious Sadducees and Pharisees and, you know, all them seats. They all didn't like it. And so they got Peter and John, pulled them to the side, and started quizzing them. They were mad. They set them in the midst. They said, by what power and by what name have you done this? Peter, filled with the Holy Ghost, said unto them, you ever had one of those moments as a Christian where the Holy Ghost rose up in you so strong, you lost full control as far as you. I mean, you just did what God told you to do. It rose up to a point, you just did it because you knew God was in it. We got to return back to that again, letting the Holy Ghost lead us and guide us. What happens is we start thinking too much. It's like the song Kevin sung, you know. Of course, he said stop and think, but I'm doing it a different way. We stop and think about what if instead of just stopping and thinking about he is. There have been times in my life I felt the Holy Ghost rush in such a mighty strong way to do something. There's times I obeyed and felt the blessing of God for it, and there's times I disobeyed. And you, the whole way home, I'd missed it. I had missed what God told me to do. When that Holy Ghost rises up, it gives you a boldness that doesn't care about the consequence or the outcome because you know God's in it. And you know that God's not going to let you fall if he's in it. Peter, filled with the Holy Ghost, said to them, you rulers of the people and you elders of Israel. Here's little Peter, a fisherman that's now following Christ, talking to all these dignitaries, all these important people in the community. If we this day be examined of the good deed done to the impotent man, by what means he is made whole, be it known to all of you, to all the people of Israel. Now imagine you standing in your local courtroom, whatever. You've got judges, police officers, mayor, councilman, whatever. The leaders of your community are gathered together. And you're standing in front of them, and this is what you say. Let it be known to all you that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, here he goes again, whom you crucified, and who God raised from the dead, even by him does this man stand whole before you. It's by him he stands whole. By the name of Jesus, the one that you crucified, that when you could have released him and the people cried out, Jesus, Jesus, you let him go, and you took this innocent man and you whipped him and you spit on him and you disrespected him and you hung him on a cross and you buried him. It's that same Jesus, Joseph and Mary's little boy, the same one that walked on the water, the same one that took a little boy's lunch and fed 5,000 plus people, the one that raised Lazarus from the dead, the one that healed the blind man, the dying girl, the dead girl, the one that healed all those people, the one that did all those works. It's by that name and that name only that this man stands whole. I didn't do nothing. Jesus did it all, and he gets all the glory. Now, that's boldness. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. That's why it's under such attack. That's why high schools all across the country are saying we can't talk about Jesus or the Christian faith because it offends people. Of course it offends people. Because every demon snarls like a pit bull in a dog fight every time the name's mentioned. Because everything rises up. All them demons are reminded there's something better and greater and stronger than us. And that's Jesus. All of the prophets are dead and gone and buried. All great evangelists and preachers and pastors and prophets and whoever, miracle worker, they're all dead and gone, buried. All of them will die until the Lord returns to change us. They'll all pass away. But the one that passed away and came back to never die again is still Lord. And when every other miracle worker is buried, our God's still on the throne. And the crown is still on his head. It's by that name we are saved. It's by that name we are delivered. It's by that name we are healed. It's by that name our chains fall. It's by that name our heart is changed. It's by that name addictions are broken. Our darkness gives way to light. It's by that name that every demon that haunts us can be cast out and we can become a brand new creation in Christ. There's still something about that name. It shakes the world. It changes lives. It rattles things, but it cannot be silenced and it cannot be denied. If every preacher is shut down, the Holy Ghost will still move up on the face of the earth and on the face of the waters, and his glory shall be seen. We can't silence the King of Kings, and never will be able to. Rise up and use what God has given you. I shared a Facebook post. Some of you may have seen it. They were at a college baseball game, and it was in somewhere in the South, I believe. It was an NCAA baseball game, and they said they wasn't going to sing the national anthem before the game. They weren't going to do it. It didn't stop the crowd. You play the video, you start hearing the crowd, oh, say can, the whole crowd on their own with no music, nobody leading it, no singer, the whole stadium, you hear that national anthem being sung. Oh, my, gave me chills. It reminded me so much of you're not going to silence truth. We've got a lot of problems in this country, but there's a lot of men and women that's died to give us what we have. Jesus died and gave everything he had for us. And they may try to silence the message and silence the Holy Bible and silence, you know, they're already trying to silence all kinds of things, what we can preach, what we can't preach, trying to say you can't preach on certain sins and can't preach on this. And Debbie shared a great Facebook post I loved about abortion. The best way I ever heard it, best line I've ever heard about it, ever. It says, why, when a heart stops, do we pronounce them dead But when it starts, we don't pronounce them alive. Isn't that powerful? Isn't that about what it said? That's close, right? Why do we pronounce a person dead when their heart stops, but we don't pronounce them alive when it starts? Wow. And they're trying to silence ministries and preachers from talking about social issues because it offends people and people get too much in politics. Look, I want to tell you something. I've been in pastoring 13 years. I'm not political. I've never endorsed a candidate. I've never done that. But if it's in the Bible, it's going to be preached about. I mean, you can call it a social issue if you want. If it's in the Bible, it's got to be talked about. That's my job as a pastor. And there are things in our nation that we are accepting, and the reality is declining, and they're telling us to back off and back away, and, you know, we need to preach on this and that, and you can't talk about those things because it's considered this and this and this. If it comes in the scope of God's Word, then it's my job as a minister to address it, or I'm not doing my full job. I'm not a hater. I'm not saying that, but it's got to be addressed. I mean, we just can't, you know, have patty cake waffle Sunday and, you know, not talk ever about, you know, sin. And you know what? Sin, you know what happens? Sin takes away that power to exercise what God's given us. It's pretty hard if Kevin's been out and running around on Sherry and just had a good night, the old, you know, wherever he went and just got sloppy drunk and went home with some strange blonde, and then on the way home, he sees somebody and they call him, "Hey, can you pray for me? I need healing." Sure, in the name of, gosh, I can't even call his name. I'm so ashamed right now. I'm embarrassed what I've done. I feel so guilty. In the name of Jesus, can you heal her, Lord? I mean, don't you lose all your power? Sin comes in and it causes us not to be where we're supposed to be. It's not that every sin sends us to hell, but it affects our walk with God. It's just hard to face God when we've not really been with God. Peter and John had been with God. They had left the upper room not long before this. And man, they were on a high. Man, my Jesus. I denied him 3 times, but yet he filled me with his Holy Spirit. I denied him 3 times, but he used me to preach the word. I denied him 3 times, and now he's enabled me to see a lame man walk. That's pretty powerful. A couple more verses. Close out. They called them. Now look at this. After Peter says, "We preach the name of Jesus," all these big wigs commanded them not to speak at all or teach in the name of Jesus. Are you serious? They're telling them they can't preach Jesus. Why? It was rattling the world. And all of a sudden, here's the real deal. It was arrogance. Well, they're not going to need us if they got Jesus. You're pretty right. They're not going to be looking at us as authority, or they're not going to be looking at us in the same light. I'm not going to be meeting their needs. Well, you aren't anyway. It's Jesus that meets our needs. They didn't like the glory being off of them and onto Jesus. They want to be the center of attention. They want to be the big dogs. They want to be the ones everybody needed and depended on so much that it couldn't function if they weren't in place. And they said, "We don't like this. All these people rattling around, getting healed and saved, and they're celebrating, they're waving their hands like freaks in the streets, you know, ooh, Jesus, I don't like that. It's bothering me." They need to get some Jesus themselves, what I say. Peter and John then answered. What do you think they said? "Sure, we'll just not talk about Jesus, really." They said, "Whether it be right in the sight of God to hearken to you or more unto God, you judge. For we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard." That's powerful. That's my last verse, right, Jeremy? That's powerful. We can only speak what we've seen and what we've heard. Church, you've been with Jesus. That's what you go talk about. We talked about Joe Brown's fingers a few weeks ago, how God healed him. God did that. Nobody else did that. I mean, Joe Brown ain't going to go say, "This great surgeon did this." Well, the great surgeon did, but not a man surgeon. God's surgeon. The general surgeon. Pretty good. Anyway, my hands were healed by God. And Joe could say, "Look, you can tell me not to talk about Jesus, but I was there when my fingers were like this, and now they're like that. I was there when he touched me. I was there when he healed me. I was there when my finger began to get strength than it had before. I was there when my ulcers got healed on a boat in the middle of the lake, and God healed me of my ulcers. I was there. So don't tell me I can't preach Jesus. Don't tell me I can't talk about my Jesus, because I'm a witness to who he was and to what he did. And my Jesus is a miracle worker. He is a healer. He is a savior. He took a wretch like me and made me redeemed. He took someone who deserved nothing and gave them everything. He took an outcast and put him right in the middle of the kingdom and said, all things are now yours because all things are mine. That's what God did for me and for Joe Brown and for all of us that believe in Jesus. So we can't silence. We can't be silent about what we've seen and what we've heard. See, Jesus isn't something I've just heard about. It's something I've witnessed. I've seen God. I've heard from God. God has personally touched me over and over in my life and my family. And there's no doubt that God is in me and I am in him. There's no doubt about that. And when you know that you know something, you talk about it. You talk about it. There's power in the name of Jesus. Come on up here, Kevin. There's power in the name of Jesus. Use that name. Because that's the name that saved us. That's the name that redeemed us. And because of him, we have an eternal kingdom. We're going to one day walk in fully glorified and fully changed because of what he did for us. This mortal shell that we see aging before us will one day be restored fully and whole, and we'll be exactly as God intended us to be again. In the meantime, we need strength. In the meantime, we need his Holy Spirit to help us. I want to encourage each of you, your life can be different. It can be impacted by the Holy Spirit if you'll let it. Don't accept your condition. The woman with the issue of blood did not accept her condition. For 9 years, she struggled and she tried, or 12 years, she struggled and she tried to find healing and couldn't. She could have so easily gave up and said, I've done all. I spent all my money. I went to all the doctors. It's just how it is. But she said, there's one more option I can think of. I heard about this man, Jesus, who does a lot of wonderful things. And if I can just get to where he's at, I know I'll be healed. And she pressed her way through her discouragement. She pressed her way through her brokenness. She pressed her way through societal judgment because she was an unclean woman in a man's world. And she pressed her way through, unashamed, wanting her healing more than she wanted anything else. She wanted her healing more than she needed her pride. She wanted her healing more than she needed anything else in her life. If I can just get to Jesus, he'll touch me. And he did, and made her whole. As Christians in here tonight, as his children, walk in the power of the Holy Ghost again. Walk in it. God, we've let too much of the world come in. And God's already got a message brewing for Sunday for me about the spirit of the world. I keep hearing that today, the spirit of the world, the spirit of the world. We've let too much of that come in to distract us and detour us from walking. See, distractions keep us from feeling what we're supposed to be doing. And I'm one that gets easy. I'm easily, as a human, distracted. I mean, I get very easily distracted. I can't sit long in one place. I get distracted easily. The world's always distracting us. We're hearing the voice here, voice here, voice here, and it's drawing us away from the path God designed for us. And so we've got to, again, say no. There's power in your name, Lord. There's power in your spirit. And I'm not going to accept the condition I have now. I'm not going to accept it. Stand with me, if you would. I want to pray over the body of tonight. We're in a time period, as we all know, as I know it's cliche, it's like no other. We truly are. Me and Melody's talked many times, how long will God allow things to be the way they are? How long will he allow things before he changes things? We see absolute, defiant, rebellious, open, unrepentant sin, like we've never seen it before. In your face, unrepentant, rebellious sin. Just here's who I am. Don't care what you think about me. This is how it is. No God, no this. Hell and heaven, that's all myth. Da, da, da. We hear all this. We are the light to the world, church. We are. The Brennan Tony Cooks are the light. It's not the pastor. It's not the leader of the great cathedrals. It's you. Each of you. It's Joe Brown and Best Buy being a light to David Messick. It's Melanie at her job being a light to the drug addict. It's me in Walmart on aisle 3 being a light to someone that passes down the aisle with a buggy that just has a look of discouragement. And I just simply say, ma'am, are you okay? And then have the chance to plant the seed. Each of us have that. It's not about wearing a suit and tie and having a microphone. We are the people of God. I've said many times, I have such faith in my grandmother back there that if I really needed, if I felt like I needed hands laid on me, I wouldn't go to the great pastors I know. I'd go to my grandma. I did one other time. Remember at your house? I said, I want you to lay hands on me and pray for me. My little grandma, who grew up in the back mountains of Wilkes County, who never drove a Cadillac or had a swimming pool or a mansion, never had probably 14 karat gold, maybe have, I don't know. That's the one I want laying hands on me. Because the Holy Spirit in her. I want to catch her on a good day. Make sure she's in a good mood. But I'm going to tell you something. That Holy Spirit, boy, it's there. When she lays her hands on me, she's not my grandma anymore. She's a vessel of the Holy Ghost. That's what we need. We need more grandmas rising up. We need our Marys and our young people and our Allies and our Trays. We need them rising up, saying, you know what? I'll be a vessel for you, God. Use me. You at Logan's, Taylor, a light, a vessel. As they're throwing peanut shells on the floor and crunching them, God can use you with a smile and a word. Be what you're supposed to be. Peter and John recognized a need and just addressed it. How many needs go by our lives that we don't ever address with people? We just pass by them. And they're dying inside, crying for someone to reach them. Let's pray together. Join hands, somebody, if you got somebody close enough to you to hold her hand. Jeremy, get out here and get with your wife. Joe, reach back and grab Gail's hand, other hand if you can. Okay. Remember that. Mel and Sister Kayla, I think she had a seizure on her 20s. What I want to pray tonight specifically is that each of us have a new infusion, a new authority, a new a level of awareness to give out what God's given us. Because each of you that are born again in this place, that have made Jesus your Lord, you have what you need to bless others. Father, for this place here tonight, for everybody standing here, for every vessel standing before you, God, we mess up so much. We fall so short of your glory. We do so many things wrong. And God, I know in our flesh we are not worthy to be in your presence. But you, God, did something for us 2,000 years ago. You stepped behind a veil that we couldn't step behind. You went to a place no man could ever had went before. And you spilt blood that we could be called your children. And as your children, God, as your Holy Ghost-filled children tonight, I pray for a new strength, a new anointing, a new awareness that we're the light, not to wait on somebody else, not to wait on that other person. We are to be the Peter and the Johns of this generation that look upon other people and say, rise up and walk in the name of Jesus, that your glory shall be seen. Use us, Jesus, as your vessels this generation. Use us, no matter what our age is, whether we think we're too young or too old. Use us. God, use our mouth, use our hands, use our feet to do what you've called us to do. We are your vessels. We are the puppets and you are the hand. Guide us and use us for your glory, that we walk again in the power of that holy name, and that we give out to others what you've given to us, that chains will be broken.
so many hurting people, God. People are so confused. They're so hurting. They're dying inside. Emotion, they're so torn. God, they need to see the light. Let us be bold to speak life to where death is trying to rule. Let us be the light to speak into their darkness. Let us be the voice crying in the wilderness, preparing the way, saying, follow me. I'm not the way, but I can sure lead you to who the way is. In the name of Jesus, fill us tonight that we are empowered even this week to go forth starting tomorrow and just walk different, be different, Lord, speak different, look different, that others will see we have something to give them. In the name of Jesus, I declare this word over this body tonight, and we give you praise for it. In the precious name of our Lord Jesus, the church said, amen.